Do me, isn't it?
Yeah.
One amen. The rest of you just leave. Give your money and leave. All right, I'm going to mention a couple things about the book table. And like I said, I told you we only do this because we're desperate. But and my wife will be back there to take your money. And I can't tell you, man, we have been married for 37 years this year. And she knows how to take money. I can testify. So this commentary on the Gospel of John, I call it practical and theological because I think that obviously the Bible is theological, but I like things that are practical. Practical means you can use it. In this one, just some of the things, there's a subject index in the back, and I'll just go over some of them. There is actually a defense of 1 John 5:7 that is disputed in your Bible. Also, who the sons of God were, who owns the temple. Did Jesus make or drink wine? I'm talking about booze. That's in here. All this stuff about people got saved looking forward to the cross, that question is answered in here. The powerlessness of Satan. Theories of inspiration. There's six different theories of inspiration, and I'll guarantee you believe one of them, and none of them fit the Bible. None of them. How to find the will of God. Mid-tribulation rapture of Jews. Guys, there is mid-tribulation rapture. But it's 3.5 years after we leave, okay? Some of my brethren want to go through the tribulation. Be very honest, I'd like some of my brethren to go through the tribulation. Talk about the what the LXX is. Let's see. Eight shepherds in Scripture. Is there such a thing as progressive revelation in the Bible? Some mistranslations in the NIV. Our heavenly mansions. Should we pray in Jesus' name? What about the Trinity? Let's see. And then agape and phileo. You guys are familiar with that. But anyway, that's just some of the stuff that's covered in that. As you can see, I've been around a long time. Nobody buys them. this book is about the Geneva Bible. You know, there are people that they want your King James Bible out of your hand. They don't care what else they put in it. And I'm talking to a group of people that I know nobody's going to replace your King James Bible with a New American Standard or an NIV or whatever new modern translation comes out next week. But I'm coming in churches and I have pastors saying, I have a family in my church and all of a sudden they're using the Geneva. Or I had a pastor one time say, well, I've been studying out of the Geneva. And I thought, why? You wouldn't study out of the NIV. Now, the Geneva Bible comes from the proper Greek line, but guys, it does precede the King James, but it's not the perfect Word of God. And the one that's being bandied about is, it's called the 1599, and so that's why I have, I call it here the 2006. You see what they call it, the 1599? Yeah, but if you would read a book you got, and all you got to do is get the 1599 and read the introduction, and it says, this is a reproduction of a 2006 update. So it's not a 1599. And in this one, I have a 1557 Geneva and a 1560. And so I compare the Geneva to the Wycliffe translation, the Tyndale's, Cramner's, great, Geneva 1557, Geneva 1560, and then the 1599, they call it, and then the Bishop's Bible. And I'll just on the back, I'll give you an example of the problems. It's a good Bible. It's not a perfect Bible. Your King James Bible is your perfect Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, 19, where it talks about Elhanan killed the brother of Goliath, and the brother of is in italics. And the NIV takes the word the brother of, or the phrase the brother of, which means that Elhanan killed Goliath, which puts a contradiction in the Bible. Well, the Geneva reads just like the NIV. It does not have the brother of in it. Let me ask you a question. How long are you going to be in heaven? Like forever? Oh, forever? Okay, good. You know the end of Psalm 23 where it says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Well, in the Geneva it says, for a long season. I'm sorry, guys. My membership is not running out. And I really like this one, Malachi 2, verse 16, where it says that God hateth putting away. The Geneva said, if thou hatest her, put her away. You know, there's supposed to be something wrong with that. Yeah. I like that, Geneva. Oh, anyway, and also in your Bible in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, you have the word Easter. You know why you have the word Easter there? Because that's the word that's supposed to be there. But it is not found in a Geneva. And then there are some strange things. Just here, some strange things that they do with phrases like the Son of God and the Son of Man and Holy One. In fact, some of the stuff they do in the Geneva Bible is just really weird. But that book is back there. You know, as your pastor said, I do a lot of stuff on the King James Bible. That book right there is not on the King James Bible. I count it as the most important book I've written. I have people a lot of times, they'll say, you know, if I buy one book, which one would you buy? Which one should I buy? And I always point them to this one, which really, I hate it, because we've got books that cost twice as much. But anyway, guys, look, you know what we all believe? We all believe that God exists to put a smile on my face or your face. Now you say, oh, that's not what I believe. Why don't you listen to yourself pray? If you would listen to your prayers, you probably start every morning telling God how to put a smile on your face. And we think that he's up there just, you know, he's supposed to make everything go good for me and my car get better mileage and, you know, nothing bad happen. You know, that is just the opposite is true. We were put here to put a smile on his face. I think the greatest verse in the Bible is Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I don't know how you count success, but I will tell you this. Any night you can pillow your head and know today I did something that put a smile on my God's face, your success. And so that may help you. I've had a lot of guys. I've had preachers and other folks. I had one church preacher called. I've never met the guy, but they bought one for everybody in the church. And I had one preacher, real blessing. He said, it changed my life. He said, every morning I start my day asking God, what can I do to put a smile on your face? So that book may be a help to you. I did not write this one, but this is an excellent book. It's called, Did the Catholic Church Give Us the Bible? Short answer, no. Long answer, get the book. Okay? What a lot of people, you guys, you know, because you're in a Bible-believing church, you do not realize how ignorant many other people are. I didn't say stupid. Ignorant is uninformed. You understand? And, you know, if you ask, I get this question, you know, people say, how many Bibles are out there? I don't know how many Bibles are out there. You say 200 or 400 or, you know, 100. But I do know how many Bibles are out there. Two. There's only two. Through history, there's always been the true Word of God and a false Word of God. And a lot of people are totally unaware that there are two lines of Bibles. They got this stupid family RSV big Bible on their coffee table. In the back, it has a tree, you know, a little picture of a tree with an RSV hanging off of one limb and a King James hanging off another and a Tyndale hanging off another. And, you know, if you take that page out, maybe start your wood burner with it. But this book is the best book I've ever seen for taking and showing you the two lines. I mean, this Brother Daniels shows the two lines through history. It's one of the best books I've ever seen to do that. And some of you ought to get this because if for no other reason, you could always color the pictures. All right, those are back there, and my wife will be there. You know, there's a couple things back there I would like to call your attention to that are free. And I know you're Baptist, man. I know you like free. We have that. That is our catalog. And so that is back there. And that is free. We have. Hang on. We have it. I know we have it. There it is. We have a prayer card. I don't take these lightly. Okay? You know, I spent like 35 years with pain. I'd get up in the morning just trying to make it through a day. And a lot of people get addicted to pain or painkillers. And I got addicted to prayer. I didn't get addicted to painkillers. And so my wife and I really covet your prayers. And if you take a prayer card, I'm not asking you to, you know, promise to pray X number of times a day or anything like that. I look at it like this, guys. If we can get onto a Baptist refrigerator, we got like 6 chances a day of getting prayed for. So this one is here. It also has two web pages. My printing company, Daystar Publishing, has a web page, and then I have a personal one, and both those addresses are on there. So those are back there. Again, my wife would be glad to help you. And look, if you don't know what to get, just go back and leave money we'll know what to do. All right. Let me get this this message. I want you to open your Bibles, believe it or not, to three different places. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, Job chapter 31, and James chapter 3. Now, if I asked you tonight, what is the worst sin you could commit? You'd probably tell me murder or adultery. You know, that's our big two, basically. And the reason we say that about murder and adultery is because if somebody takes your wife, they ruin your marriage, and if they take your life, they ruin your whole day. But there is a sin that is worse than those two. Say, why would it be worse? Well, because it's one you're more likely to commit, and that's what you want to watch. In Proverbs chapter 18, read this verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Look at Job chapter 31. And Job chapter 31, look at verse 24. If I have made gold my hope, or have said it to thine, to the fine gold. Okay, to the fine gold. Thou art my confidence. If I rejoice because my wealth was great, and because mine hand hath gotten much. If I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness. My heart hath been secretly enticed. My mouth hath kissed my hand. This also was an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him. Neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. For the men of my tabernacle said not, oh, that we had of his flesh, we cannot be satisfied. So he said, I didn't sin with my mouth. And then I want you to go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 is probably the most famous passage of Scripture on the tongue. Now I know if I ask you what, you know, like I said, what are the bad sins? You say, you know, taking dope and, killing people and committing adultery. You know, there's not a passage in Scripture this long about adultery. There's not a passage of Scripture. I didn't say there's no Scripture against it. There's not a passage of Scripture that talks about taking drugs or killing people like this one talks about the tongue. Look at verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which thou hast, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. My goodness, realize what we just said? You cannot tame a tongue. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Do the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Let's bow our heads and let's talk to the Lord. Father, it is good to be saved. It really is. God, it's good to have your book. God, take a look at this church. These people came to church on a Friday night. There is something that these folks are usually doing on a Friday night right now, but they chose to be here. God, I pray that you'll bless them for their attendance. I pray, Father, that them being here does put a smile on your face. God, you know that I've prayed and I've talked to you about what to preach, and this is what you want me to preach. So God, I pray, Lord, that you will speak to the heart of each individual that is here, and God, touch the hearts that are here. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Now, I like to joke around, you know, I tell people that I am glad I'm a Baptist because Baptists do not gossip. Baptists don't gossip. But Baptists can spread killer prayer requests, can they not? I mean, a Baptist can go, well, pray, you know, the pastor used an illustration today that he used 17 years ago, and, you know, God's probably done with him here. He just doesn't know it yet, you know. And so, guys, we will absolutely destroy people with our tongue. And I'm going to talk to you about why gossip and misuse of your tongue is the worst sin that there is. Like I said, if I asked you what the bad sins are, you'd tell me adultery and drugs and drunkenness and all kinds of garbage. Guys, is there a shortage of garbage in our world? Well, that was a quiet crowd, wasn't it? Well, you guys live in a bubble? Or are you just so submerged in all this stuff that you can't think of anything bad? Guys, our nation is overflowing with filth. And here's the problem. Some of you have a problem or a sin of the flesh that you are constantly fighting with, or you're afraid that you're going to give in to. Somebody here, maybe you had you had trouble with drunkenness before you got saved, and you've been saved for quite a while, and you're going, man, I got to fight that all the time. I don't want to give in to it. You know what you don't know? Maybe from now until the Lord comes back or you die, you're never going to give in to drunkenness. Now, I can't tell you that you're not going to. What I'm saying is, by the time this is all over, we're going to cross over the other side, and you're going to look back and go, man, I never gave in to drunkenness. Some of you have a problem with adultery or pornography or drugs or something else. And you say, man, I'm going to fight that because I don't know if I'm going to give in to that or not. And we're going to get on the other side. You're going to look back and go, man, I succeeded. That's right. You may never give in to the sin that you're fighting every day. But you know what? Gossip we give in to all the time. Gossip is the sin you're most likely to commit. While you're worried about committing adultery, or you're worried about taking drugs, or you're worried about getting involved in some horrendous sin that all the world will find out about, I'm telling you, you will be gossiping about somebody. Now, I know, again, you're Baptist, so I know you will gossip, but you will spread prayer requests that will absolutely destroy the people around you. So gossip is the sin that you're most likely to commit. Gossip is the easiest sin to do. Man, you talk about easy. You know, if you got a problem with drinking, where are you going to get the booze? I mean, where are you going to get the booze? You say, well, I'll go out of town where nobody knows me, and I'll go into a gas station, and I'll get some booze there. Yeah, but you look what you got to go to. Look at the trouble you got to go to. Right? Yeah. Look, you think of, what if you got a problem with drugs? My goodness, you know what? You don't know but that every time you're buying it, you aren't buying it this time from a cop. And no sooner do you make the purchase, and all of a sudden, and you're going, oh, man. And your picture's on the newspaper cover. I mean, guys, look at the sins. If you're committing adultery, you've got to steal off into the night and meet somebody. Isn't that right? I got to tell you, something happened when I was in Bible college. Kathy and I met when I was home after my first year, and then I was down for my second year, and that, again, you know, this was before cell phones or anything. And so I'd get done with school every night around 10 o'clock, and then I would walk down the street. There was an old ma-pa grocery store, you know, white clapboard kind of place where, you know, a bottle of milk is like $45, you know, one of those kind. And right there was a phone booth. And so every night I'd go down there, you know, and I'd give Kathy a call. And I noticed something. Now, this ma-pa grocery store would close maybe around 7 o'clock at night, so it'd been long closed. And I'm talking on the phone to Kathy. Lights are out in this place. It's actually a dark parking lot. And this woman would pull in this car. And you know where she parked? In the shadow of this building. Now, she doesn't know who I am. I mean, think about this, lady. Are you going to pull into the empty parking lot of a closed grocery store where some strange man is in a phone booth, and you're going to park in a shadow? And I wondered about that. Well, I kept talking to Kathy, and you know what I'd noticed directly? Oh, maybe 5 or 10 minutes after she'd park, another car would pull in and had some guy in it. And she'd get out of her car and get in his car and drive off. Now you go, oh, you have a dirty mind. Yeah. Yeah, I really don't believe that that was a man and his wife meeting. And I watched that happen several times. And now look, I got to tell you this. I'm going to confess that what I did was a lie. But it's probably the best lie I ever told. I went down there one night, and this particular night, I took a pen and a piece of paper. And I'm talking to Kathy, and directly I see this lady pull in, parks in the shadow. A few minutes later, in pulls the guy, and off they go. She leaves her car there again. It's a 62 Chevy. I can still remember it. And so while I'm talking on the phone, I wrote a little note. And I went over, and here's what it says. It says, I know who you are. Well, no, that wasn't really a lie. She was the lady in the 62 Chevy. And I know what you're doing. Well, that might have been a little stretch, but I'm pretty sure I can guess what she was doing. And then it says, I know who you are, and I know what you're doing, and this week I'm going to call your husband. I'm sorry. We say, well, that was a lie. No, that week I went, hey, husband of the lady in the 62 Chevy. He didn't answer. And then after I got done talking to Kathy, I walked over, I lifted her windshield wiper, and I put that note on there. And I never saw that Chevy in that parking lot again. And I've often imagined, I'll bet you that lady probably, if there's an Olympic event for answering a phone from across the room, I'll bet she qualified. I mean, I bet you, man, that phone went off, and her husband is right here, and he goes, and as he's about this far from the phone, she comes from clear the other end of the house going, I'll get it! Hello? Oh, wait a minute, look at all the trouble she had to go to. Right? Yeah. Let me ask you something. Look how easy it is to gossip. Is it not easy to gossip? You don't have to wait until it's dark. You don't have to go where no one knows you. You don't have to worry about somebody coming in and checking your refrigerator or finding your stash. Right? In fact, you're almost welcomed to gossip, aren't you? You know, I am an evangelist. You know what the evangelists are? The evangelists are the jungle drums. Evangelists, brother, we carry the story from one church to the next church to the next church. And I decided many years ago when I went into ministry, especially when I went into evangelism, that I am just not carrying garbage. All right? This is not a garbage can. I don't want you to put your garbage in here. And unfortunately, if any of it does get in here, it's not getting out. I'm just not doing it. Listen, this is the easiest sin there is. You know, back during World War II, they said the slip of a lip sinks ships. You know how easy you can destroy somebody with your tongue? I was talking to a fellow one time, this is when I was pastoring up in upstate New York, and there was a fellow that came and visited my church one time. He was saved, believed the King James Bible was the Word of God, but he lived out of our area, and so he's a little too far to come to our church. But he stopped by, I remember he stopped by and talked to me, and he was telling me about his pastor. Now I'm going to tell you right now, his pastor used an NIV. His pastor was wrong. Okay? I don't care. You say, how do you know he's not a nice man? I didn't say he wasn't a nice man. He may love the Lord. I said about the Bible, he's wrong. Correct? Amen. All right. And so this guy, you know, he tells me about his pastor, uses the NIV, and I'm going, okay, you know. And I'm not, and then he's complaining about this. Like, he wanted to do this in the church, but the pastor wanted to buy a new piano. And so he's kind of griping. Now, I know none of you would ever do that. But he's kind of griping like, you know, who's the pastor who had to get a piano? Pastor got what he wanted. Well, that's because he's the pastor. Okay? You know, you've heard it before. The pastor's not always right, but he's always a pastor. And to be very honest with you, as I listen to this guy, knowing that I'm only hearing one side of the story, it sounds like he's kind of right. But I also know that whether they get a piano or a new organ or whatever is really not a doctrinal issue. And so this guy's talking to me for about 40 minutes, and you know what's wrong? I'm not piling on to his pastor. Look, I disagree with his pastor over the King James Bible. But he thought because of that I would kind of like just cheer on, yeah, he's a dirty dog, bought that piano, he did, you know. And when he saw that I was not ripping on his pastor, he said this. And you know, he spends an awful lot of time in that church with the secretary. Now, here's what he does. I don't know his pastor. I don't know his pastor. Never met his pastor. Never talked to his pastor, but I'm about to. What he doesn't know, that depending on the... I'm going to ask him a question. And depending on the answer that he gives me, we are going to walk straight to my telephone, and I'm going to call his pastor. And so he says, well, he always spends a lot of time in that church with the secretary all alone. I said, wait just a second. I said, are you now accusing your pastor of committing adultery with the church secretary? You know what he said? I mean, you'd be proud of him. He said, no, I didn't say that. Aren't we good at saying something without saying it? I'll bet you nobody here ever did anything like that, right? Guys, you ever stop and think about this? You were lying before you could talk. When you were a baby, somebody put you in a crib and you sounded off like they laid you on a cactus. And all you wanted was somebody to hold you. And every time they picked you up, you stopped crying. Every time they put you down, you sounded off again. You couldn't even talk and you were already lying. There are no classes on how to lie. I know you say, because if there were, everybody in Congress would fill them up. But God, that's what he said. He said, no, I didn't say that. I said, no, you didn't. But I said, what you said inferred it. Now, I'm asking you again, are you telling me, are you accusing your pastor of committing adultery with the church secretary? And he went, no. If he'd said yes, we were going on the phone, I was going to call the pastor. I don't believe for a second his pastor was committing adultery. You know what I think? I think he wasn't getting the reaction. He wasn't getting any venom out of me for his pastor. And he was just going to push it and push it and push it until he would finally get some venom out of me. Now, come on, you've done that. You're talking to somebody, and you know what it is? Look, this is how it goes. You are talking to some, you're talking to some, another person, another Christian, and they mention somebody that you don't like. And a little voice inside you says, well, I'll see to it by the time this conversation is over. They won't think as much of them as they do right now. And you will destroy their character. And it's like, you know, it's like those two ladies on the telephone, you know, they're talking, they're spreading prayer requests about another sister in Christ. And he goes, oh, and let me tell you something else. And so she, about 10 minutes, just ripping this lady's face off. And she goes, oh, tell me more. And so about another 10 minutes, man, she just lays into this lady. She goes, oh, tell me more. And so another 5 minutes, man, it's hip and thigh. And she goes, oh, tell me more. She says, well, I can't, dear. I've already told you more than I heard. And that is what we do, isn't that right? Guys, this is the easiest sin there is. No one has to teach you how to gossip. No one has to teach you how to say something without exactly saying it. How many times have you covered yourself so that if somebody contacted you and said, did you say, well, I never said that. But it is what you said, isn't it? You just didn't say it in the words because you never wanted to have to answer for saying it, but you just laid enough of it out there so that somebody else would figure out what you wanted to say. Guys, you will never commit adultery. You may never murder, but I'm telling you, you will commit it. You will commit gossip at the drop of a hat. All somebody's got to do is displease you, and you will gossip. I'll tell you something else. It is the sin that you're most likely to justify. I cannot believe how people will gossip and go, well, I didn't mean anything. Well, I didn't mean anything by it. I say, you know what gossip is like? I'm telling you, this is what gossip is like. Let's say there's somebody you just don't like. Now, I know you love everybody because you're a good Christian. But there's somebody you don't like. You love them. I was preaching one time about Christian rock music, not in the positive format. And then I'm shaking hands as people are going out the door, and this woman went by, and I could tell after, as soon as I started jumping on Christian rock music, I saw her face go red. If she'd had a gun, she'd probably finish the sermon for me. But now she's got to go past me to leave. And she's got to shake my hand. And she's praying like for the rapture, maybe mild coronary, any escape she can get. And so she shakes my hand, and she goes, and she has to say something, you know, she goes, well, I love you in the Lord. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, that means you hate me in the flesh, right? Come on, you've done that. You have talked about somebody And when somebody said, boy, you really hate them, you go, oh no, I love them. Yeah, you love them, especially if they're cooked medium rare. And so here's what gossip is like. There's somebody you don't like. So one night you just drive by their house with your 12-gauge shotgun. Boom, 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 fire three rounds as you drive by. You pick up tomorrow's paper and find out you killed his wife and kid. And you say, oh, no, I didn't mean to kill anybody. I just wanted to shotgun their house. That's what we do. This is the one that we will justify the most. Well, you know, I just need to know so I can pray better about it. No, I don't think you need to know to pray any better. I was at some meeting, and there was this missionary there, and he's a good man, good man. And, you know, some preachers actually do think that being in the ministry is gossiping. I mean, if you're not, you know, that's like, that comes part, that's like you, gossip is even higher than golf. And so, him and I, we were walking someplace talking. He says, hey, let me ask you a question. I said, sure. And he referred to a situation that happened sometime earlier between two brethren that these guys really, they really slammed heads, a lot of repercussions. And he said, you know, you remember when that happened? I said, yeah. He said, well, you probably know some things happened on the inside of that, don't you? I said, yeah. He said, because he said, you know those guys pretty well. I said, yeah. He said, what really happened? I said, brother, I said, that happened 15 years ago. I said, that laundry has been hung out and dried. I said, what on earth would we be doing talking about something that happened 15 years ago? And he unfollowed me. He goes, yeah, you're right. Guys, I mean, the statute of limitations on crime is only about 7 years. But there is no statute of limitations on gossip. Yeah, I'll tell you what I heard about your pastor. I heard when he was in the 8th grade, he cheated in marbles. And then you called him a man of God and let him stand behind his pulpit and open up that Bible and act like he's righteous. I'm telling you, you say, oh, I'd never get upset. You would if he's mad at him. Guys, it is the easiest sin there is to justify. Well, you know, I just think so-and-so has a right to know. Well, you know, I just want, you know, or you'll say it like, oh, you didn't know. Hey, guys, teaching the Bible's hard. All right? Teaching the Bible, you gotta study it. But teaching people how to be wicked, brother, nobody needs to be taught. We don't have classes on it. We don't have classes on backbiting. We don't have classes on murder. We don't have classes on gossip. We don't have classes on how to destroy somebody's reputation or destroy somebody's ministry. You know why we don't have classes on that? Because there's no one here that needs them. It is as natural to you and it is as it is to me. And when you won't be committing adultery, and you will be shooting up drugs, and you will be driving down the street drunk and run over top of somebody, when all of that, when you won't be doing all those sins that you, and hey, you ought not be doing them, okay? But when you won't be doing those sins, you'll be gossiping with the best of them and smiling while you did. Well, I thought you ought to know. I just wanted to be a murderer. I just want to call. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody called and say, well, I just want to call and rip so-and-so's throat out for you. Instead of saying, well, I know your friends and, you know, I'd know you'd want to know this. Well, yeah, that's like saying, walk up with a garbage can, you know, and go, want to smell that? No. No, I smelled one. I'm pretty sure I haven't smelled this one. I'll bet you I know what it smells like. Well, it smells as bad as ones in Ohio. The sin of gossip is the sin that you'll enjoy the most. You will never enjoy a sin like you will enjoy gossip. You know, if you commit adultery, what are you going to have? An hour of pleasure? And then from then on, you got to worry about every time the phone rings, like that lady in the 62 Chevy. You got to worry about somebody seeing you. You got to worry about somebody putting a bumper sticker on the back of the car that says, I know what you did. You ever see one of those? Remember a few years back? I think it was United Way put on there, I know what you did. Say, why did they put that? Because they knew everybody's guilty. They figure, oh man, they know what I did. I think I'll give money to the United Way and they'll never tell. Guys, you go commit adultery. You know what you'd find out? You'd find out that it isn't anything like it was in your imagination. So now what you've done is you've taken 1 hour of pleasure in your life, and the rest of your life you have to worry about. Every time the phone rings, you have to worry about somebody contacting you. You have to worry about somebody having seen you. Do you understand? Did you ever hear anybody say this? Hear about so-and-so? They were gossiping. Nobody ever does that. They go, hey, hear about so-and-so? They got caught talking on the phone, gossip. Not a 900 call. I mean, they were just, did you hear about so-and-so? They were gossiping. Nobody ever does that. This is the one you will enjoy the most because there's no reproduction. There's no reproductions. No repercussions. No. Yeah, you hope there's no reproductions. So you take drugs and dope. I hope I said that right. You take drugs and dope, or you get drunk. Wouldn't it be awful to go out and get drunk, and then wake up in a jail cell, and find out you ran over somebody and killed them? Would that not alter your life? Come on, wouldn't it? You know, we have illustrations about somebody that was good and right. I actually heard this. I heard about a preacher, and he was a good man and true to his wife and did things right. And one time, he was on some kind of a conference and decided to be immoral. And that one time in his life, he caught AIDS. You say, see what happened? Yeah, but you never catch AIDS from gossip. Nobody ends up in prison for life because of gossip. Isn't that right? And you can enjoy it. My goodness, man. You can spend an hour on the phone telling one person and hang up and dial somebody else and go through the whole routine all over again and enjoy it twice and hang up and call somebody else. Isn't that right? Guys, there is no sin on earth that is as enjoyable as gossip, because you don't have to hide. You don't have to worry about being recognized. You don't have to worry about, you know, you commit adultery, there's just a chance that your spouse might divorce you. But whoever said, I'm divorcing my wife. Why? Gossip. Nobody's going to do it. You will enjoy this. There's no needles. There's no pictures. There's no secret meetings. There's no gunpowder residue. There is nothing to prove that you did anything wrong. And if anybody calls you down on it, you'll just say, well, that's not what I told him. But what you did tell him destroyed a life. Guys, when we gossip, we don't care if we destroy ministries. We don't care if we destroy people's lives. We don't care if we destroy marriages. We don't care if we destroy hopes. When you start gossiping, I mean everybody is a target, from dad and mom to all of the kids. And if you don't see enough blood in the street, you'll go back a second time. You know that is true. There is no satisfaction like having talked to somebody about somebody else and have them go, well, wait till so-and-so hears about this. And you'll hang up your phone and go, ting, I got another one. This is the sin that you will enjoy the most. This is the sin that's hardest to quit. I knew a guy, he started smoking. He's trying to get off the patch. But you know, you ever talk to anybody, you know, so, well, I'm trying to get off booze and I'm trying to get away from this. And, you know, we got RU programs, you know, Reformers Unanimous in a lot of the churches. Is that it? RU? Okay. Reformers Unanimous. And I go to a lot of churches. They have those. And that's not just about booze or drugs, but any kind of addiction. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody saying, yeah, I'm a gossip. People are trying to quit horrible sins. You know, nobody's trying to quit gossip. You know why? I mean, nobody's having any struggles with it because nobody's trying to quit. Isn't that right? Nobody's trying to quit. And you know what you say? You go, but I didn't kill anybody. And I didn't commit adultery. I'm not taking any drugs. There's no booze in my refrigerator. How can you say it's bad? This is the easiest sin there is. This is the one that you're most likely to commit. All the time you're fighting your booze, the old booze problem you had from your other life. All the time you're fighting the pornography, and all the time you're fighting the adultery. All the time you're fighting everything else, and you're succeeding. You're not even fighting gossip. You're not losing the battle to stop gossiping because you're not even trying to stop because you enjoy it so much. This is the hardest one there is to quit. You know why people gossip? Well, the first reasons they gossip, you say, it's because they're wicked. No. No, one of the biggest reasons people gossip is they're paranoid. Look, let's say your preacher and I have an argument. Now, if your pastor and I have an argument, you already know I'm right. You say, why? Because I'm always right. A preacher, you say, you think that? No, that's what you think about you. That's what you think about you. Did you ever say to somebody, boy, me and so-and-so really have an argument? Really? What about? Oh, something they were right and I was wrong. But boy, I sure put up a spirited defense. No, man, you think you're right. Now, here's your preacher, and we disagree on something. And I mean, we just have a shouting match. And then I hear that next Sunday, not this one, but next Sunday, he's going to be preaching for Dave Gilbert. And I think, I know he's going to talk to Gilbert about me. So you know what I do? About 3 days before he gets there, about Wednesday, I call Gilbert. How you doing, brother? Good. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just up with Brother Spears. Oh, yeah, he's coming here next. He is. Oh, you. Well, you probably haven't heard, have you? Heard what? That's how we do it. I'm afraid that he, you know, here's the thing. He's probably not going to say a thing about me. But I'm afraid he is. So I got to head him off at the pass. And we gossip because we're afraid somebody is going to say something about us. That's why you've done it. You've done it because you had an argument with somebody. You were afraid they were going to talk to somebody you knew and that that person would take their side. So you wanted to get your side in first. You know you did it. It is the hardest one to quit. And if you say, well, I'm not going to gossip anymore, but then you'll have an argument with somebody. And then you'll know they're going to talk to so-and-so. Well, that's when the struggle will come. People gossip because they are paranoid and scared. People gossip to get even. Some people gossip, it's like, I will get them. I will get them. You know how wicked this sin is? There's a young pastor I know of. He had an older man in his church, and they had some kind of a dispute. This older man disagreed with this pastor. And it's not like here, you know, I mean, this whole area, California, it's like one big city. I mean, this is kind of a small town situation, a very small town this guy pastors in. And this older man left his church and goes all over town, literally, not just bad-mouthing the pastor, but making up lies about him. Making up lies. And the preacher saw him on it. Because it's not like, we thought about doing something or we did something and had a disagreement on how we did it. I mean, he's making up stuff that never even happened. And this preacher ran into this guy one time downtown. And he said, hey, he said, you know, I was talking to so-and-so, and they told me you told them that I had done this. He goes, yeah, I did. He said, yeah, but I mean, you know I never did that. He goes, yeah, I know. And the preacher, he goes, but I mean, you know that when you told them that, that's a lie. He goes, yeah. And this is what he told him. He said, if you think that's something, wait till you see what I tell him next. You know who the man is? It's the pastor's father. It's that preacher's own father. You say, oh, nobody do that. Guys, you have no idea how wicked you would be when you set your sights on destroying somebody. When somebody crosses you, you know what the sin unto death is? The sin of the death is to disagree with me. Well, I don't mean disagree with Sam Gipp. Nobody preaches the sin of the death is to disagree with me, but that is the one we practice. And all somebody's got to do is make you mad. And you know what you'll do? You'll say, I will get them if it is the last thing I do. And it is the, listen, gossip is the hardest sin to quit because you're always going to find somebody that you want to get even with. It may be not just paranoia and getting even. It just may be because it comes in handy. It helps you climb the corporate ladder. I'll give you another example. Let's say that I pastor in California. I pastor within about 100 miles of here. And let's now look, guys. The highest calling in the Bible is the call to preach. That call manifests itself in a man's life in one of three ways. As a missionary, as a pastor, as an evangelist. You can do your ventriloquism and juggle for Jesus and, you know, swallow swords and eat fire and anything else you want. I find these three. I find a missionary, a pastor, or an evangelist. There is no higher office in the Scripture. Okay? Now, let's say I pastor in this area, and in this area, your pastor and I fellowship with a group of guys, and they start to form a fellowship and decide they're going to vote for a president of that fellowship. Can I ask you a question? Is that office president of the fellowship, is that scripturally higher than the office of pastoring? No. But it sure is as far as ego goes. And you know who they're thinking about voting in as president? Me. That's good news. You know what the bad news is? The other guy is, no, I love your pastor, but all of a sudden, when I'm talking to another pastor, I go, no, I love Brother Shapiro. You know I love him, but I just fear the direction we'll go if he leads. Well, what do you mean? Well, see, there are just some things I never wanted to say before, and I wouldn't, but you know, this is such an important thing. You know what I'm doing? I am murdering a brother in Christ. I am murdering him for one reason. It helps me gain what I want to gain. Guys, you have gossiped about the competition. And the sad thing is that many times the competition was a brother or sister in Christ. But you lied about somebody, or you didn't lie about them, but you just laid enough stench out there so that somebody smelled something dead and they attributed it to them. You wouldn't commit adultery. You wouldn't murder. You wouldn't go out and shoot up some heroin. You wouldn't take crack cocaine. You wouldn't touch a child. But you will murder anybody that crosses you or crosses your path. You know why it's hard to quit? Because it's a habit. I mean, sometimes it's just a habit. We are creatures of habit. Do you know that? You probably do everything the same way. You probably sit in the same pew. I have no problem with that. I say, oh, you don't sit in the same pew. Oh, sit in the same pew. Man, when we come in, we displace families every time we come in. You know, we come in just sit in the pew, and I can always tell if I'm in somebody's pew now. They kind of walk up and they go, and then they leave. He's in my pew. That means a guest speaker. Well, yeah, but didn't have to be in my pew. Guys, we are creatures of habit. You do things the same way every time. You know what's bad about gossip? It gets to be what you do. It just gets to be what you do. Do you know how some, you got, I guarantee you, there's somebody here, you are so well known for gossip that people actually, you don't even have to call them, they call you. When they want the garbage on somebody, they call you. And they just, all they got to do is mention a name and off you go. I'm going to tell you, I have been in conversations and somebody's name came up and it was the name of somebody I don't like. Or it was the name of somebody I don't like and I knew something that was bad about them and it was true. It was true. So what'd you do? I don't say anything. Say why? Really, you know why I don't? Because if I do once, I'll do it next time. Do it the next time. I'll set a new habit. I just don't. You know what I try to do? I try to find something good I can say about them. I'm not even sure some guys haven't dropped guys' names because they think I must know something. And if I say his name, because that's all you got to do, guys. I mean, come on. I told you I'm not a fisherman, but I could do that. All you got to do is throw the bait out there. And, hey, have you seen Brother So-and-so lately? Oh, him. Well, what's the matter, brother? And off you go. And I've had them dangle the name right in front of me. And I go, well, he's a good preacher. Now, I won't say that he's not a good preacher. I mean, he may be, you know, a serial killer. But he's a good preacher, at least. And I'll just say, he's a good preacher. Guys, beware of the habit. Beware of getting addicted to gossiping. You will find yourself chewing somebody up. You know, there's some old things that we used to say, like, if it isn't good, why say it? If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. You ever heard anybody say that? Well, why don't you try that? But see, here's the problem. If they say the name and you go, hop, I'm just not going to say anything. I'm not going to talk about them. You just did. Did you? Sure you did. That's why you ought to say, well, God's been married to the same woman for 30 years. That's pretty good. Then go on to the next subject. Because I'm telling you guys, you will get addicted. You'll get to where it is your habit to gossip. I wouldn't doubt there are some people that call people on a regular basis just to spread stuff that they've heard. And they get back and forth and back and forth, and that stuff goes everywhere. Is that really what you want to be known for? You really want to be known for destroying people? Let me tell you something. I learned a spiritual lesson back before I got saved, actually. I learned this in 1968, 1969. And here's what happened. At that time in this country, there was a lot of hippies out there. And they were rioting and they were burning, I don't know why Bank of America, but they're burning a bunch of Bank of America buildings. And they burned some Bank of America building out here in California. I don't know where it was, L.A., you know, San Francisco, Ventura. And I'm watching the news. Now, you know something, guys? Here's what happened. These hippies burnt a Bank of America building, and the news interviewed one of them. You know, when you set fire to a building illegally and you get interviewed instead of arrested, the country has turned the wrong corner. And they interviewed this guy, and they said, how come you guys burnt this Bank of America building? Here's what he said. Oh, they always sound noble. Look, anybody that murders can make it sound virtuous. And anybody that gossips can make it sound spiritual and wonderful. And this guy said this, well, we're going to build a new country, but we've got to burn the old one down first. And you know, I learned a spiritual lesson. You know what it was? Any hippie can burn a building. Can I ask you a question? Has anybody here ever seen a building that a hippie built? Now think about it. Have you ever seen this grand 40-story all glass structure? Who built that? Oh, some long-haired hippie. You know what I think of it? I think more of like a fun house where the windows are like this and the floors go uphill. You know, you look good to me. I've never seen a building that a hippie built. I learned then and there, any hippie can burn a building. You know what I know? Anybody can destroy. Anybody can. Someone could take it in their mind, someone sitting in this room, you could take it in remember this church, you could take it in mind, for some reason your pastor commits unpardonable sin, disagrees with you, and you set about to destroy his ministry. Guys, can I tell you something? Do you have any idea how tough it is to build a church? Do you have any idea what it is like to try to build a church? Especially out here where everything is so expensive and people tend to be just a little carnal, if you hadn't noticed. And you know what happens? Somebody comes in and they join the church. And 4 or 5 months later, a family comes in and joins the church. Man, last 6 months, how's it going? Well, last 6 months, we had a family, this man and wife and two kids, and then this one guy came, and then this one lady. Man, we had those people come in the last 6 months. We're doing great. And one person starts gossiping, and five families leave at one time. I was in a church one time, and one guy got mad at the pastor, and he started gossiping about that pastor, and when he left, he took five families out of that church. He left that church, about 10 people left. And you know what he's mad about the preacher for? This is exactly what he told him. He was mad because the pastor didn't shake his hand one time after church. Now you say, is that what he said? Yeah, and of course he added to it. Guys, here's what happens. Can I give you some advice? Never leave a church angry. You know why? Because you can't stay angry. You know, when you're angry, a little reason seems to be good.
Well, they did. They sat in my pew, so I left.
But after about 3 months, you're not angry anymore. And somebody says, why'd you leave that church? And now that you're not angry, guess what? Your reason for leaving looks as stupid as it is. And now you're thinking, I can't tell this guy that I just got mad because the preacher didn't shake my hand. So you go, Oh, brother, there are some spiritual problems there that I just don't want to talk about. Well, that man, that preacher seems such a nice man. Yeah, that's how he seems. That's what I thought when I went there. You see what I'm saying, guys? I am telling you, what that practice is as wicked as hell itself. And there may, in this entire group, we may go to heaven and no one in this group will have killed anybody. And no one in this group will have taken drugs. And no one in this group will have committed adultery. But how much death and destruction will we leave behind us because of our tongue? I told you, there is no passage of Scripture, verse after verse after verse, that talks about adultery like it talks about the tongue. Now, I'm going to tell you guys something. I'm done. I got, you know, I joke about having 7 messages, but I got 10. Actually, I got about 1,300 and some. And I don't ever have this, well, I'll preach this one that night and this one that night. I don't ever. I have a lot of guys ask me, who are you preaching tomorrow night? I go, well, I don't know. I'm talking to the Lord. And I have talked to the Lord. I talked to the Lord today about what to preach tonight. I didn't set this 2 weeks ago or even yesterday. And I haven't preached this message in quite a while. I can't remember last time. I could find out. It's number 1181. But I asked God what I should preach tonight. And this is the message that stuck out. So I set it aside and I asked him, let me preach something different. And you know, every single message that I looked at and prayed about, it was like looking at a blank sheet of paper. This is the single only message that God laid on my heart tonight to preach. Now you know what that tells me? Somebody here needs it. Somebody here needs it. Now, I know what, look, I'm gonna talk to you. I'm going to let you go. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, you're mad at me. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want you to get caught. I want you to stop. I don't want anybody to have to bleed and die and ministries be destroyed because of you. And you don't either. Guys, remember this. This is the book that says you're going to answer for every idle word. Every idle word. Just the flippant things we say. Not even the planned things that we say. So somebody here needs this. And if you're sitting there right now and you're going, oh man, what am I going to do when he gives invitation? Oh no, I can't go forward. Maybe he's going to give the invitation. Oh, what am I going to do? If you're in a conviction, let me explain conviction. Do you remember being under conviction about getting saved? I told you, I remember. It felt like I had a thumb this big and this big and put it down on me. Now, I've never known conviction yet that it felt good, okay? It's never been something I liked. But the result of it, isn't the result of it always good? If you give in. I mean, like here was, I had this horrible feeling called conviction, and when I gave into it, I ended up saved. So if you're under conviction right now, when did conviction become something bad? When did conviction become something that a Bible believer should have to fight or resist? Here's what I want you to understand about conviction. Do you know what conviction is? Conviction is the greatest compliment that a holy God pays to an old unholy human. When God puts you under conviction about something in your life, here is in essence what He is saying. I can use you. I can use you. I can use you except for this problem right here. You know, if you get rid of this, I am going to do something with you. Guys, that's what He's saying. If you're in a conviction right now, what He's saying is, man, I can do something with you, but this is the thing that's holding me back. Now, you tell me that's bad? Let me warn you about this. If you're sitting here right now and you are a gossip and your heart is as cold as ice right now and you're going, I don't care what this guy says, just get me out of here. Wait till I get on the phone about him. You know, if I knew there was a sin in my life and a preacher was talking about it, and I didn't feel conviction about it, you know what I'd think? God wrote me off. You think if you're not under conviction right now that you have won some kind of a battle, do you understand? You know what God just said to you? He came right up to the pew you're sitting in, looked at you and said, I ain't wasting my time with that one. Now, if you are under conviction right now, that's a compliment. I'm not asking anybody to confess anything. I'm not into that stuff. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have you bow your heads. I'm going to have my wife come up here, and she's going to play a little bit on the piano. I'm not going to open an invitation. This is not an invitation. I'm hoping your pastor will grant me this grace. I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward. Because you're sitting there right now going, I can't go forward. You see, I'm not out to embarrass you. I'm out to get you to stop doing something that is going to destroy your brother or sister in Christ and is going to really bode well or bad for you at the judgment seat of Christ. Do you understand that? Do you understand what you're going to answer for? If you've ever hurt a ministry, if you've ever ripped the throat out of another Christian, do you understand you're going to stand in front of this God and answer for every word? You should be worried right now. Somebody here should be absolutely scared to death. So, I'm not going to try to get you up here and everybody go, huh, I knew they ought to go. Or look around and go, well, why didn't they go? And I was talking about them just the other day. I know they're bad. And so, guys, I'm not asking you to come. But here's what we're going to do. We'll have you bow your heads. Kath, come on up here. Bow your heads. She's going to play.